fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, you caught me working right up to the last minute here. Right up to the last minute, working hard. Got to get this off to Jared so he can get it up to you. Good morning, folks. Monday morning. It's, I don't know if I can possibly say this. The 6th of February. How can this be the 6th of February? Where is my life gone, man? Where is it gone? We're excited here in Ohio because it's warm. February, warm. It's like, you know, Lord, crazy stuff going on. Welcome, and a lot to talk about today. I want to tell you this right off the bat. You're not going to want to hear this, but I'm going to tell you. I got cord hanging over my shoulder. I took all my stuff with me, and I'm getting rearranged back down here in the studio here this morning. By the way, I got a couple slots open. If you're out there just listening or watching on Facebook, we got a couple slots open in the queue here this morning. You might want to jump in. Here's the news from my perspective. We're winning. The good guys are winning. But there's two problems with it. Number one, we don't know we are. And number two, we don't know what we're supposed to do when we're winning. Had the opportunity with Operation Save America when we were down there in Louisville this weekend. I got a couple things I want to show you about that. I want to talk a little. I didn't watch any of the Super Bowl last night. None of it. Not one kickoff, not one commercial. Seeing some of it on Facebook this morning, I've got some stuff I want to share with you regarding to that. But I had the opportunity to speak to the group down there on Saturday afternoon. I told them we're winning, and it was like, we don't know how to act. We don't even know what that feeling looks like. We're winning. And how do you know? Because I used to tell our football guys, we would get late in the third quarter, early in the fourth quarter. Rich is an old football player. You'll understand this. We'd call a timeout, and there'd be a timeout. There'd be a break in the action. Or we'd be in the middle of a drive sometimes. And I would begin to yell, look at them, look at them. And I would point to our opponents, look at them. Their hands are on their knees. They're bent over. Their hands are on their knees. Their hands are on their hips. So let's bury them. We got them. Look at them. They're tired. That's why I'm telling you that. That's what's going on right now, see? They know they're losing. Now, hang on. If I followed it right, the Super Bowl last night was, what, 28-3 at one point? Atlanta was ahead 28-3. And probably anybody watching that game would think, well, they're gonna win this thing. There's never been a comeback bigger than 10 points ever in the history of the Super Bowl. They're up 25 points, for heaven's sakes. Look, they're winning. They're winning. But see, they didn't cut off the head of the Patriots, did they? They didn't cut off the head. And so as a result of it, a little bit of oxygen, a little bit of air got pumped back into the Patriots, and they rose up and won the game at the end, from what I understand, reading online. I just got a comment on this. It's an overtime game. Dumbest thing in the world is for one, whoever wins the toss, if they drive down, score a touchdown, the game's over. The other team doesn't even get the ball. You mean to tell me the other team doesn't even get a chance to score? So I love overtime, but the overtime rules are stupid. That's not the point. The point I'm making, we are winning. And if we will just, there is a breach in the wall, folks. There's a breach in the wall. And I made this point on Saturday, and I may have made it on Friday. I can't remember if I did or not here on the show, but I want to make that point again here. The church is almost praying for defeat. The church is almost praying for defeat because it lines up with their theology. What's their theology? We're going to lose. It's all just going to get worse. It's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And then God's going to come back and he's going to pull all the Christians out of it and rescue all of us. And so everybody just look up because your redemption draws nigh. And if we would happen to have a revival in America, in the world, if Christians would once again begin to get their influence back, if the halls of Congress and the halls of government and the halls of the courts, and if Hollywood and the media, if those were ever to be seized back by Christians, that wouldn't do very good for our theology. Wouldn't be good. So as a result of that, a lot of people don't want to do anything. They think, oh, well, you know, I caught myself thinking this the other day. You know, golly, 20 years, we can hang on this 20 years, I'll be 84. Maybe I'll be out here before this mess really, really breaks loose. And but boy, is that a heck of an attitude to have, isn't it? Our children and our grandchildren, are we taking care of our children and our grandchildren? The answer to it is no, we're not. But listen, we're winning. Hey, Tyrell, good to see you this morning. I saw Tyrell down in, he was down there at Operation Save America. Hey, guys, we're winning. We have the opportunity right now to put a hurting on the enemy. We have an opportunity to do it right now. Hey, George, good to see you. Saw some of those Tulsa folks down there. They told me, sang good praises about you and everything that you're doing down there. Makes me proud. So the Super Bowl last night was a huge comeback. Isn't it interesting the Patriots won? I don't want to make any more of that than you make of it. The Patriots are winning, folks. The Patriots are winning. And we have to open our eyes up and understand exactly what's going on. Now, February 11th, I haven't said much about this. February 11th, coming up this weekend, is protest Planned Parenthood Day again. Maybe it's defund Planned Parenthood. And I really haven't said a whole lot about it because I'm really ambivalent, okay? I'll just be honest with you. I'm really ambivalent. I've been to two or three protest Planned Parenthood days at the clinic. I saw 1,000 people the first time, then I saw like 100 the next time, and then I saw like 50 the next time, understanding that the Christians have no staying power. We could have already defunded Planned Parenthood. We could have already done it. And now here we are again, going to come out, and we're going to get out in front of Planned Parenthood, and we're going to beg Planned Parenthood to beg the government to do what's right and stop killing unborn babies. We're so pathetic. I had a discussion with my wife and I. We're coming back from Louisville yesterday. We're driving back. I said, you know, sweetheart, we have to do a self-evaluation. You listen to me, Rich? We have to do a self-evaluation here. Because I said, you know, maybe we need to up our efforts at Planned Parenthood. Maybe we need to, maybe I need to go there twice a day. Maybe I need to really up it. And in the course of the discussion, I don't know whether Michelle said it or it just came up out of my own. I said, well, let's ask this. What's our goal? In this battle against abortion, what's our goal? Because when you go to Planned Parenthood, you don't really do anything. They build bigger fences. They get more donations. You stand outside there and you try to rescue a baby. And that's noble. And by the way, we rescued, I believe, 4 of them Saturday when we were in Louisville. We saved 4 babies. So I'm not making light of that. That's cool, right? But are we going to win this battle by rescuing 3 babies in one day? Is that how this battle is going to be won? I'm not making fun of the people who faithfully go to the abortion clinics to try to rescue children. Do not hear what I'm not saying. But are we holding our pickets at the right place? Are we holding our pro-life outreaches at the right place? And I asked Michelle, or she asked me, what's our goal? What's our goal? Well, our goal, I think, is to end abortion. Okay? Are we going to end abortion standing outside the clinic every day, 1-2 babies at a time? Is that going to end abortion? No. Rescuing the babies is noble, don't get me wrong. Are the elected officials, are they moved by the fact that I'm standing out there holding my signs at Planned Parenthood? Does that put pressure on them? Does the body of Christ awaken? Does the church awaken? Do the pastors awaken? Say, oh my goodness, Coach Dave's standing out there with those signs. We got to get involved. Hey, Rich, is that happening? That's not happening. That's not happening. And we're 44 years into this slaughter of the unborn, and our techniques really, for the most part, have not changed a bit. So if Planned Parenthood, they want us to go back out to Planned Parenthood again and protest on Saturday, the 11th, which would be noble, would be a good idea. But on Monday, I'll be the only guy there. All those people, they'll go home. They will have done their duty. It will be like the March for Life in Washington, D.C. Guys, we have to come up with a strategy. I was going to play a video this morning. I'm not going to now. Michael Moore, we all know who Michael Moore is. Michael Moore, I did an interview with him where he said they are on a 100-day assault. They have a 100-day plan against Donald Trump. They know they're losing, see? They've gone all in. You ever watch that poker? They put all their chips on the table, and they know it's do or die time for them, the God haters. They know it is. They understand that it is. And so they have a 100-day plan to do whatever, to get rid of us deplorables. See, there's a difference, you know, between opposing Trump and getting away of us. They're opposing Trump, but what they really want to do is they want to crush us, see. They know they can't do that. So the only way that they can win is to maintain control of the courts, maintain control of government, maintain the silence of the church. That's the only way that they can win. And so they're doing everything they can to try to shoo us back in. And there's a breach in the wall. There's a strong breach in the wall. And the left has said, all hands on deck. When's the last time you heard the church call all hands on deck? When's the last time? And I'm telling you, their wall is cracked. The platform that they're standing on is broken. There is not one feasible reason why abortion is permitted. Not one. They cannot come up with one logical, strong argument for abortion. Yet they continue to hold sway. Not anymore, see. Not anymore. We're winning. But we don't realize that we are. Somebody weigh in here, because I know a lot of you guys have been thinking about this stuff all weekend too. The fact that we need a plan. Tim said we need an arrow to shoot up in the air. We need a weapon. We need to make a mark. What would that look like? Somebody help me here. Any ideas? Hey, by the way, be careful, because I found this out. The enemy's watching us now, this show. So we want to show some of our cards, but let's keep them close to our vest, okay? Let's speak in generalities. Let's not speak in specifics.
Amen.
Okay? So anybody have any generalities about this game plan?
Yeah, I have a general question. The thing down in Austin on the 25th.
Yeah.
Any more details on that?
Yes, Larry. I'm going. Rich is gone. Robert's gone. Some of us are going down there. I got some exciting news. We're winning. I'm just telling you, we're winning. They're introducing an end abortion bill in the state house in Austin, Texas, on the 25th. We're going to be down there on the 24th and the 25th and out on the 26th, and they're calling as many supporters as they can. Now, we all know this. There ought to be enough of them just right there in the Dallas area, in the Austin area. There'll be enough people there to do it, but we know the churches don't turn out. But again, Rich, as I say, it's a historic event, and I'm going to be there, and I'm going to let my voice count. And that's on the 25th, and that is going forward, okay? That is. But I want to...
I just wondered, because 25th is a Saturday, isn't it?
And it is. It's being done on a Saturday. There are things that are taking place on the 24th as well. Start early in the morning on the 24th. And we'll certainly have the opportunity to go to a clinic and do that kind of stuff. But the whole purpose of it of there is to blitz, right? To go to our elected officials and say, do this, man. Do this. Do this. See, guys, we just won an election. And I say we. I'm talking to those of you who didn't even vote for Trump. You know where we'd be right now if Hillary was elected? Abortion would be the law of the land for as far as we could see. So we won a victory there, but we haven't completed it. Rich, we haven't cut off the head of the snake yet.
Dave, just a little correction.
Go ahead.
It's not about blitzing. That's what the defense does. We got to put it in the end zone.
All right, brother. I like to play defense like I'm on offense, though, too. You understand, Rich? I don't like to stand there and let them run over me. I play offense when I'm on defense. That's what I'm saying. If they're going to score a touchdown, it's going to be because I'm attacking them when they do it. But I agree with you. We're not good at offensive plays. And so, yes, Larry, that is going on the 25th. And I said yesterday or Saturday, Friday, whenever I was last on Friday, I would like all of you guys, I think it's just important, put on your calendars July 22nd through the 29th for this event down in Louisville, because there's only one abortion clinic in Louisville. And I'm sorry, in Kentucky. Only one in the entire state of Kentucky. Only one. And, you know, we do a lot of work at the abortion clinics, Michelle and I, we do. And I've never seen one teetering as badly as this one is, in the fact that, man, oh, man, you can go right up to the front door. You can go right up to the front door. And we overwhelmed them this weekend. I'll show you some stuff. And so if you put that on your calendar, 22nd through the 29th of July, you don't have to come for the whole week. They're going to be... there'll be maybe 1,000 of us there all week. You know, we found an Achilles heel. I don't think I told you guys this. All you got to do is look around. Lord gives you great strategies. The abortionist at that clinic is employed at the local hospital. So we went to the local hospital Saturday morning with signs about the abortionist and how dare the University of Louisville allow her to kill babies part-time. We have to begin to raise awareness to exactly what's going on. I'm going to put you on the spot there, Tyrell. Tyrell's from down in Kentucky, and he came down. He drove 2.5 hours to come and join us on Saturday. Tyrell, what's your take on what's going on down there, Ben? You may have to hit your button and unmute yourself there. There's a little button on your phone. Not yet, buddy. Still not unmuted. Just touch your screen. It should pop up a little picture of a microphone, and you just touch on it. Keep messing around with it, buddy. Keep messing around with it, and you'll figure it out. You should hit the screen, and then the microphone. You should tap it, and it should unmute for you, and then you can talk to us. Because we can see you. There, try it. Nope.
Hey, Coach, while he's trying to get on, can you talk about the – Kentucky governor's comments?
Thanks, Sarge. Thanks, guys. Listen, we're winning. Do you understand what I'm telling you? We're winning. And can I make a connection here for you that many of you haven't thought about? And I spoke about this, so I'm going to feel like I'm tied up here. When you guys, you've heard the story when we went down to Kim Davis. Hear me. Rich, it's just like a boxing match. You never know which punch scored. I mean, you may know which one hit, but you'll never know which one really hit, really did damage. You never know. And we're in a war, and we want to shoot the gun, bang. Hate to use that illustration, right wing watch. We want to throw the punch, bang, and see the guy fall. And because we don't see him fall, we don't think we did anything. And I want you to know that in this battle that we're in, every punch counts. And every time you inflict pain or inflict injury, it shows up down the road. So when we went down for Kim Davis of the marriage debate and the county clerk wasn't going to sign, you remember all that kind of stuff. We went down there and we raised up a hailstorm, a firestorm down there. Most people don't know this, but as a result of that, it had awakening that courts don't make law. A guy rose out of nowhere who was running for governor, a horrible underdog, not a horrible man, a total and complete underdog, just like Donald Trump. This is 2 years ago or whenever Kim Davis was, a guy by the name of Matt Bevin. And Matt Bevin pulled probably, you can check, but one of the greatest political upsets in the history of Kentucky politics. Matt Bevin won the governorship. Matt Bevin won the governorship because of the Kim Davis battle. Don't let there be any doubt in your mind that it did. That it awoken this Tea Party movement, call it whatever you want to, the deplorable movement. They got behind Matt Bevin, and Matt Bevin was elected governor. Let me back up a second. Matt Bevin, who just a year before that, or 2 years before that, had run against Mitch McConnell down for that Kentucky seat. Matt Bevin, a Tea Party candidate, had run against Mitch McConnell, and it appeared he had Mitch McConnell beat until his own team turned on. Rand Paul and those guys, they all endorsed Mitch McConnell, and Bevin didn't win. Because why? The Lord wanted him to be governor, I guess. So Matt Bevin became governor. And now we have a real Bible-believing Christian in office in the governorship. You say, well, Coach, how do you know that? Well, he spoke. First of all, hey, Rich, can you imagine any governor in America coming and speaking to Operation Save America? Can you even, folks, I see, those of you who never be there, we're considered the radicals of radicals. And he didn't meet with us in secret. He openly came and met with us. And he stood before us for about 20 minutes, and he spoke to us about the, you know, everything that was going on and yada yada in his faith. And he used scriptures. He quoted and applied Bible verses to things that were going on. He just didn't use the God word. You could tell that this was a man of faith, a man of deep faith. You could tell that. So we have a man sitting in the governor's office who's on our side. You understand? He ain't John Kasich like we have here in Ohio. This guy's clearly on our side. Now, as we always know, when you're a political animal, you're always asking a politician to do something, for the most part, that you won't do yourself. So we want to create the wave underneath Governor Bevin to let him, just like Donald Trump, to let him do what is right. But Governor Bevin's not going to do what's right if he doesn't see the support when he looks around him. Do you guys remember what happened with Mike Pence back in the religious liberty law back in Indianapolis before, what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when the homos came out and they picketed and all that, and Mike Pence blinked and he gave in to the homo movement? Because why? Because the church didn't turn out. So Bevin spoke to us for about 20 or 25 minutes. No holds barred. You could ask whatever you wanted to ask, and he would answer, you know. And then Rusty and Pastor Matt Tuella had a private little discussion with him afterwards. We have a friend in Kentucky. The guy sitting at the top of the government in Kentucky is one of us. I believe that. His sister, so they told me, his sister is a pro-life demonstrator at the abortion clinics. This guy's one of us. And so we have one clinic left in Louisville. We have a pro-life governor, and we have a bill being introduced. And he just signed the 20-week ban. He just signed it. And there's another bill that's going to be introduced to criminalize abortion in the state of Kentucky. You able to get in here yet, Tyrell? Did you figure that monster out?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you go, buddy. Good. Give a little background, Tyrell, or maybe something that I missed in this whole thing.
Well, actually, last month there was two abortion mills in Kentucky. There was one in Lexington as well. That one just shut down, so we're down to one now.
We're winning, brothers. We're winning. And so the mood. Yeah, Rich.
You know, I remember back in high school days, you know, when the coach seen the team driving down the field and put it in the end zone, it gave him the confidence to go ahead and go for the two.
Yes, it did.
Just get the field goal team off the field and let's put it in there, because the team is playing.
The team is playing, brother, and so the attitude of the coach, you know the momentum is your way. Rich, the momentum is our way, and I don't know if we understand yet the degree to which we have got to keep the momentum going. The other side has a 100-day plan. Michael Moore told us that, a 100-day plan to stop what's going on. What's our plan? What's the Christian body's 100-day plan? Are we just to sit back and watch Trump ramrod everything through? Is that our plan? Because as I wrote on last Thursday, shared it with on the show here, it's time to go for the juggler. We can right now, we can bring about a radical transformation in American government and American politics right now if we will rise up and do that. If we will. Question is, if we will. Anybody want to jump in? Because I got a couple things I want to share with you. Jared, while they're figuring out if they want to jump in here or not, Jared, I want you to go pull up, got to find it, man. Baby crying, Jared. Baby crying.
Coach, can I say one thing?
Please do.
The spirit is alive and well. We just have to keep ourselves in tune with him, because there is something that is going on that won't be stopped. And I don't care what anybody else says about that, but it's the truth. And the thing is that we keep looking to old structures
yes.
that do not help us go where we're supposed to go at this time. You can't be dependent upon the church structure. You've got to come up with something new.
Whether Boy, Michael, that, that's or, it. Or,
it's got to be different, period.
We don't understand this yet. Guys, 5 years from now, maybe four, maybe three, the media as we know it is going to be done. We're now the media. Elizabeth Johnston, the activist mommy, she produced that video. You guys probably saw it about the Million Lesbian March. Elizabeth, from her own van, sitting in her van in her driveway, produced a video that today, if you check it out, has had 11 million views. That's in a week. 11 million views. That's more than Rachel Maddow's getting, I can promise you. 11 million. We're living in a whole new time and a whole new age. And what the Lord is showing us is that all of those, as Michael, as you just so clearly said it, all of those old institutions are going the way of dinosaurs. And I hate to tell you this. The church, the local church, is either going to undergo a radical reformation or it's not. It's going to cease to exist. For the most part, the local church has already lost its influence. We already know that. We know that 3% of the population, the homosexuals, they're the ones driving the agenda. The church is sitting back because why? Because it's a dinosaur. The way we do it's a dinosaur. Just trust me, fellas. Just trust me. And the Lord is exposing so many things, the lies in the media, the liars within our own team, this whole new world order. I'm going to play you a video here. I'm going to make a copy of this. I've done this three times since I've been doing some street preaching, and I don't know if the impact of this is going to come across or not. I want you guys to hear this. When I'm out there street preaching on Saturday, I picked up my cell phone. I'm telling you, there's the greatest weapon we have right there. There it is. You can reach the world right through this thing. You can record something, hit share, boom, it's to the world. That quickly can happen. So I told my wife, film this, honey. And I grabbed my own phone, and I pulled out a little YouTube of a baby crying. That's all it is, a little baby crying. And then I grabbed the microphone as the baby was crying, and over the microphone, I interpreted what the baby was saying. I want you to hear this. It goes on for 6 minutes. Were you there, Tyrell? Were you there when I did that? I'm going to tell you, guys. Yeah. I've done a lot of things out at the clinics. I never ever saw anything like this. The atmosphere and that entire, there were about 15 or 20, maybe 25 death squirts there. It was like screwing a screwdriver into their teeth. There was a silence that went over that crowd. Now, I want you to hear, this is kind of hard to listen to, or maybe hard to hear. It's kind of muffled. And of course, as vain as I am, some guy wrote me, said, man, you sure are fat. I got on four layers of sweatshirts, okay? It's 12 degrees. I am fat, but I ain't that fat, okay? So I thought, well, I'm not going to show that. It makes me look fatter than I am. So I want you to listen. This just came from the Holy Spirit. I started as soon as a woman is walking in. She's walking into the clinic. The death squirts are all around her. Those buzzards are taking her in there. And I jumped on the PA and right away started this baby crying and then just began to speak. So it was a powerful moment. I don't know if you can get the flavor of it, but let's go ahead and listen to that second, Jared.
Maybe it's time we heard from the victim. I have some grandchildren, so I've learned baby talk. What do you think about abortion? Do you think abortion's okay? Well, I understand that the mommy has the right to kill you if she wants. I don't know where your daddy is. I don't know. He gave her $500 to come here to get rid of you. Is that okay? I know. I know those instruments are cold. I know they are. What? You want to live? Well, you don't have a choice, sweetheart. It's your mommy's choice. No. She doesn't love you, no. No, just be quiet and take it like a girl. Oh, there you go. No. 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 The doctor says he just wants to help women, that's all. I know you just want to live, but that's not your choice, see? The big people get to make the choices, not the little innocent ones. Well, I know your mommy had the choice not to get pregnant. I know. But see, you're just a blob of tissue. You don't like this.
Oops.
Your grandma? Well, your grandma doesn't even know you're here, sweetheart. Your grandpa? Your grandpa with gray hair? Well, he doesn't even... If he knew you were here, he would come and help you, but he doesn't even know it. I wish I could help. No, they made a law. They made a law. That law said you're not a person. And we have to follow the law. What are laws? Those are things that mean people make to be able to hurt little, precious little girls like you. Oh, no, we would try to rescue you. We'd try to rescue you, but they would say you're hateful. They think killing you is loving. Yeah, just be quiet. Take it like a girl. Well, the ones in the orange outfits? Oh, they've just been hurt their whole lives, that's all. Their daddies weren't kind to them, or they had a boy that was mean to them, a man that rejected them. And so they're miserable, and they want to take it out on you. Well, I know they shouldn't be able to, but it's the law. Call the police? Oh, honey, I can't call the police. It's choice. And the police would say that you don't have the choice because you are your mommy's body. You're a boy? Well, here, I thought you were a girl because you were inside your mommy's body. You have male sex organs? Well, then you can't be your mommy's body. Okay, it'll be over soon. I hear the doctor coming. Yeah, he'll be here. Oh, he has a medical license. Yeah. The Hippocratic Oath? First, do no harm?
Okay, Jared. I know that doesn't catch the atmosphere, but all you got to do is look at that girl standing there in the paint, in the orange. If she could have found a hole to crawl in, she would have. Because, see, if we allow abortion to be about a mother's right to choose, we lose. But if we make abortion about a baby's right to live, the entire argument changes. That's a powerful moment. If you would, guys, Jared, let's go to Hebrews 10 real quickly. By the way, I got to jump in here. Rich says, yeah, was he commenting about you or the fat lesbian death squad? Hey, Rich, I got to tell you something. My wife will attest to this. That one you just saw there, she was butt bumping me. I threatened Michelle can be a tiger when somebody's messing with me. I was going to have to drag Michelle off. Yeah, it was pretty wicked. I'm in Hebrews 10, verse 30. Let's go to verse 30. Oh my goodness, this whole thing is so good. In fact, Jared, let's go to 23. And I'm gonna take you down through this. Here we are. Again, this is Hebrews 10, and you can start wherever you want to. I just got this underlined in my Bible, so I'm starting here. Let us draw near with a true heart and assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And Rich, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So what I'm trying to do here today, Terrell, I'm trying to provoke you to love and to good works. I'm not trying to provoke you into getting people saved. I'm trying to provoke you into love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Remember I said the putting together. Assemble means not just get together in a crowd, but to put the parts together. The guy who knows how to run the PA system, from the guy who knows how to run the video system, from the guy who knows how to drive the trucks, from the guy who knows where to hold the signs, assembling the parts together as that manner of some has, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin, Rich, willfully, after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for our sins. Stop right there. Scripture says for you to know to do good, not to do it. It's sin. And it says here that if you sin willfully, after you receive the knowledge of the truth, there isn't any more sacrifice for that sin. But a certain fearful looking for of the judgment and the fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. See, the Lord's going to take care of his adversaries. Hey, Rich, he don't love them. Sorry. He's going to devour them and burn them. We just read it right there. He just said it right there. Fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. He is going to devour his enemies with fire. Wow.
And he's going to be laughing while he does it.
He's going to be laughing.
I'm going to laugh at your calamity and mock when your fear comes upon you.
He's going to laugh at it and take pleasure in it. Mm. He that despises Moses' law died without mercy. The two or three witnesses of how much sorer punishments, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Do you understand what he just said? He said, do you have any idea, those of you who've received the truth, do you have any idea what's going to come upon you? If you reject so great a salvation and go do your own thing. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongs to me. I will repay, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge who, Rich? His people. The Lord shall judge not the world. The Lord shall judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Boy, we need some fear. Here's where I wanted to go. But you call to remembrance what your life used to be before you were illuminated. when you before you received Christ and you endured a great fight of afflictions. Partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. So you start doing stuff, people start looking at you, you're gazing stock, and reproaches and things are being done to you. For you had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. In other words, you didn't mind giving up all that crap and people saying bad things about you because you know there's something greater waiting for you. You're not held by this world anymore. You're in this world, but you're not of the world. So there ain't nothing in this world's got a hold of you. In fact, the word says, love not the world nor the things of the world. You've been delivered from that, see, where we're supposed to have been. For you had compassion on me in my bonds, took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. So rich, therefore, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, because it has great recompense of reward. Man, your confidence is going to pay off, the Lord says, because you just have some need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, that you may receive the promise. For yet in a little while, and he that shall come, oh, he'll come. And he ain't going to wait. He ain't going to tarry. But until then, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draws back, in other words, if any man loses courage, pulls away, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back rich unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. I got goosebumps on that, man. I ain't pulling back. I'm not pulling back. Flip down one verse, Jared. One verse, go to Hebrews 11, 1, because remember, somebody else put the chapters in there. Look what it says. Now faith is. Not now faith will be, but now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Hey, boys, I'm seeing some evidence that others ain't seen. You hear what I'm saying to you today? We are winning this battle. And just like in that Super Bowl, we're going to have the most unbelievable comeback anybody has ever seen. But I've run into this weekend too, Rich. I have. Okay, Lord, I'll say it. I ran into some people who don't like the guy. They're mad because they don't like the guy that God's using, because that wasn't who they thought he was going to use. And so they can't even open their eyes and rejoice and be glad and say, listen, OSA, Salt and Light Brigade, now's not the time. We haven't handed the ball off to Trump. We haven't handed it off to him. He's just a wrecking ball that ran down through him. Let's go now. Let's be glad for this ungodly wrecking ball, if that's what you think it is. Let's be glad for it. Let's pray that it'll get redeemed. But let's thank God for him, that even though it wasn't according to the way we would have done it, he has done something. He's knocked down a wall. Let's go. You know what wall he's knocking down? Oh, thank you, Lord. It just came to me. You know what wall he's knocking down, boys? He's knocking down that phony wall of the separation between the church and the state. Trump is breaking down that wall. Now the question becomes, what are we going to do?
Hey, Dave.
Yep.
You know what it reminds me of?
We got
Trump as the fullback. We got the defensive secondary up on the line.
Right.
What call do you – what play do you call?
I go deep, brother. I go over the top of them. I go over the top of them.
Trump is you throw it deep, man. Let that secondary come on up.
Yes, sir.
And it's got nothing to do with Trump. It's got nothing to do with the fullback.
No.
No,
that's it, man. That's it. It's that play-action pass, right? That play-action pass. Can I shift gears with you real quickly? Anybody want to say anything on this? Because I want to shift gears and just get one more thing in. It's a quarter. I have just one more thing in I want to show you. Anybody? Okay, I got to get this in here. I didn't watch the Super Bowl last night. I didn't. Jared, let's get up the very first thing there, Jared. It says halftime, very first thing. I didn't watch any of the Super Bowl. I didn't watch the halftime show. In fact, I don't know if you saw this, the Benham Brothers. God bless the Benham Brothers. They got a lot of followers. And they went on Facebook and says, listen, everybody do this at halftime. Turn off the football game. Turn off the halftime show and pray. I thought, boy, is that genius. Is that ever genius? So they organized their own prayer vigil while this wicked thing was going on. So I get up this morning and I'm wondering, well, what was it like last night? And I went down through my Facebook page and they're all saying, oh, Lady Gaga, she fooled us all. What a great show she did. She sang God Bless America. She sang This Land Is My Land and all the beautiful special effects. And oh, she fooled us all. She didn't speak against Trump. You understand what I'm telling you? These are people watching the show and don't even see what's going on in front of them. They don't even see it. See, remember, the devil is subtle. He comes like an angel of light. And we showed last Thursday, I think it was, what she's all about. What she's all about. Hey, there's a picture of me on the screen. And I had to pull this up here. Okay, I want to show you. Let's go down through this. This was done real quickly last night by I trust these guys at Natural News. It's one of the best news sites. And they said, halftime hell. Satan speaks through Lady Gaga to declare dominion over the earth. And the Pope comes and blesses it. Of course, it was satire, right? I'm going to send you this link so that you can read it. So there's Lady Gaga. By the way, a crotch rocket again. Have you seen pictures of that? Why is it we live in an age where they have to flash their crotches at us? Why? What is this all about? And then people on Facebook saying, oh, what a great performance it was. Because they're used. Their consciences are seared. These are godly. These are good people on my Facebook page. You understand? This isn't a heathen. These are good people on my Facebook page. We've become so inoculated. We can't even see it. Let's scroll down here a little bit, Jared. Because I want to show you, without going down through this, you guys can all read this later. I'm going to start right here. It says, but those assaults on the human psyche are nothing compared to the big agenda of what they're... Stop right there, Jared. But these assaults on the human psyche are nothing compared to the big agenda of using the Super Bowl halftime platform. I realize this may be hard for people to grasp if they aren't informed about the deeper layers of wretched evil that have infested our world. Hey, that's not you guys, are you? You're aware of the deeper evils, aren't you? See, the average casual person going to church, they're not aware of it. That's what he's telling us here. The pizza shop pedophile stories barely scratch the surface. But the real purpose of the Super Bowl halftime show is to ritualistically celebrate the power of Satan right out in the open, declaring his dominion over the earth by glorifying his imagery, words, and worship on national TV. You staying with me now? By the way, by the end of the day, there are going to be all types of videos showing exactly what was done that we didn't realize this. But this, whoever wrote this, did this very, very quickly and showed it to us, okay? Scroll on down, Jared, because I'm going to be short on time here a little bit. They're showing last year's Super Bowl. We already talked about that with the imagery from last year's Super Bowl. Okay, and Madonna, keep going, Jared. Madonna dancing, Mark of the Beast when Madonna was doing it. This is all Madonna. Keep on going down because remember, this happened last night. They just got this up here quickly today. And then Beyonce doing it and all the devil things that Beyonce did. And we talked about that last week. There's more Beyonce. Stay with me. Katy Perry and all the demonic things that Katy Perry did and Shiva and the death. He's going to get us to last night. Stay with me. Stay with me. There's Beyonce again. Lady Gaga appears as hell's puppet. It's last night. The Lady Gaga halftime satanic ritual, however, outdoes them all. That's why Pope Francis blessed it. He's a globalist plant run by demonic forces who carried out a Vatican coup to replace Pope Benedict. Go on down. So it began. The show begins with Lady Gaga being lowered into a fiery platform on cables descending into hell. Have you guys seen it? You need to go look at it. She starts up at the top of the world. She's got wires on her. Then in a dancing way that depicts her as a puppet on a puppet strings, indicating that Satan's her master. She's a puppet of Satan. Go on down, Jared. Here's a depiction of the female succubus from Anime showing the sexual seduction. And look how her eyes and her dress is similar to this succubus, which is a female demon. Okay, keep going down. Here's Lady Gaga depicting herself in a crotch-centric seductive dance while wearing eye makeup, almost perfectly matching the female succubus above. Look at her eyes. Then, Jared, go back up to the succubus up above. Look at the eyes. But she's saying, this land is your land. This land is my land. God bless America, she's saying. Keep going, Jared. Right before our very eyes, they are worshiping the devil. We don't even see it. There's a comparison of the two of them together, the uncanny resemblance. There's another picture of the succubus. Now look what's on her leg, because I hope they show this. It's that mark is on her leg. Lady Gaga even carries her own power staff. Here's the power staff. Back down, Jared. I'm sorry. Based on very precise geometry, as is frequently depicted by hellish minions who wield power over the souls of others. So, Jared, slide down. Show she's holding up a wand. No, the other way, Jared. I'm sorry. Go up. She's holding the wand. Look at this succubus holding a wand. Okay? On down. And as she's singing, reddish hell-like fire consumes the stage around her, from which red color horns of the owl symbolism are repeated throughout. Remember, the owl is a symbol of the Illuminati. Keep going. And as fans celebrate the Lady Gaga demonic performance, they're awash in blood red lighting, providing the camera scenes that's framed to show masses of hell's minions with the horned owl symbols in plain view, worshiping the god of Gagas, Gaga goddess, the puppet of Satan, as she flies through the air with witch-like powers. Go on down, Jared. This is so good, man. This is so good. Meanwhile, Gaga stands atop a tower depicting the kind of evil architecture typically associated with the dark forces and the dark lord Sauron and the Lord of the Rings. Notice the clear depiction of hell with the fiery red pyrotechnics and smoke, all the while Satan's puppet dances atop of a tower of evil while the blood-washed masses cheer in her celebration. You have to go watch it to get it. Go on down, Jared. And then here's a wider shot of the stage of hell into which Lady Gaga descends, clearly depicting a descent into hell where she performs and worships by the blind, obedient masses. On down, Jared. Then here's Lady Gaga on the keyboard during halftime, being obediently worshiped by the minions whose light hues are controlled by central command. The message is that they are nothing but human drones to follow the bidding of their master, Lady Gaga. Then Lady Gaga's red, blood-red stage with dancers dressed in white psych ward outfits while it's all sponsored by the Pepsi logo. You know, Pepsi uses aborted fetal cells and its flavoring of soda. There's a link there. You can click on it. And then last one, here's a top-down view that was broadcast for less than 1 second, making it almost subliminal. Can someone decipher the symbols and meanings of this obviously engineered composition? Here's Gaga singing in hell with fireballs unleashed behind her as a sea of obedient human drones follow orders to worship her as a true goddess of the underworld. The dancer is not only dressed like psych ward patients. This black dancer appears like a hooded KKK member as multiple dancers flip their white hoods over their heads during a song routine complete with pointy hats and everything as their master, Lady Gaga, is elevated to a higher position on the platform behind the hooded black dancers. On down, Jared. Why, Satan is now right out in the open. These satanic rituals are being shoved in our faces on live television because satanic forces across the planet are, for the first time in a very long time, finally being exposed for what they truly are. With WikiLeaks exposing the John Podesta emails and the truly evil Hillary being defeated by forces of good, the minions of Satan have come to realize that they have a genuine fight on their hands. You get what they're telling us? They know it. That's why they're ratcheting up the mass poisoning of human minds with chemicals, heavy metals, infoterrorism, indoctrination efforts. The goal is to achieve such a deep poisoning of the human psyche that mindless mobs of obedient human slaves will literally bow down before Satan and worship the agenda as it's rolled out through CNN, Hollywood movies, pop culture music, extremely dangerous multi-dimensional scientific experiments, CERN, for instance. Then satanic puppet masters like George Soros are desperately pumping funds into front groups that specialize in disinformation, deception, hoping to push America into a bloody civil war, producing a wave of human pain and suffering on which the demonic forces feed. While the front groups get their financial funding from Soros, he gets his dark energy recharged from Satan himself, carrying out Satan's plan to unleash chaos, mayhem, death, and destruction across the realm through the strategic spread of hatred, intolerance, and disinformation disguised as liberalism. You can read more about it. So there you are, guys. Christians sat there and watched the halftime show and just thought it was a good old halftime show because they weren't understanding that it was a worship service for the Prince of Darkness again. You think I'm overreaching there, fellas? You think that's all? Do you think it's just, is it just conspiracy stuff?
I think so.
Yes.
Just before the, at like 3 PM, I was watching Lady Gaga get interviewed before the game. I didn't watch the Super Bowl either. I left before it started. She said, they asked her, what do you want people to get out of this? And she said, I hope people, I'm not sure about this first part. She said, I hope people lose their minds and experience another reality. That's what she said.
Did she really?
Yeah, that's what she said.
Well, Christians have lost their mind, dare I say it. And if you remember from last week when we showed the video of Madonna's calling it a basically a religious service, you remember that? Do you remember that? So see, Madonna comes out. Listen, I'm sorry, Lady Gaga comes out. I learned this. This is fascinating. She sings God Bless America. And then she sings, This Land Is Your Land. Do you know that This Land Is Your Land is the theme of communism? I didn't know that. It was written by Woody Guthrie. He hated God Bless America. And so he wrote the song, This Land Is Your Land, to poke a finger in the eye of Christians. No, it isn't. This land is our land. It belongs to all of us. It doesn't belong to God. Wasn't given to us by God. And so Lady Gaga gets up there and says, God bless America. And then she says, no, not really. Not really. This land's our land. This land's our land. Get it? Get what's going on? And we were mesmerized and hoodwinked and believed from that moment on it was a righteous show because Lady Gaga said, One Nation Under God. I saw that on my Facebook page. Oh, my goodness. She said the pledge with One Nation Under God. Oh, this was so righteous, this show. Boys, they're coming at us from every stinking direction.
Jared, can you put the link up to that Lady Gaga thing that Coach just went through?
Yeah, shoot him out. That natural. By the way, again, guys, I really trust Natural News. I don't know if you guys go there much. Natural News is really, they ain't bogus stuff on that website. And so we'll make sure everybody gets that. And if you're listening and you didn't get it, let me know, and we'll get it to you. Because there's already a couple videos up there that can show you the demonic imagery that was being done. They're already on the internet. You can see them out there. I didn't even go through the pentagrams and the other symbols and the fact that the two towers represented 911 and Lady Gaga's on top of one tower and the other tower. I mean, the imagery, when people begin to show it to you, see, our minds don't work fast enough. We can't process it fast enough. When they take it back and show it to us, subliminally, we begin to see what really was going on. So, boys, we're in a war. I believe we're winning the war. Well, I believe we're taking back some turf. I believe there's a breach in the wall. I believe it is an opportunity for the Spirit of the Lord to come flooding in, but we can't sit around and wait for the government officials to be able to do that. That's why we need a plan. I'm gathering with a couple guys, Rich and Robert, this weekend. We're going to get together. Sarge, get a conference call. Let's come up with a plan. I've been getting bombarded with emails from people say, you're a blowhard. What's your plan? What's your plan? I hear get them a lot. And I said, first of all, if I had a plan, I wouldn't tell you. I don't even know who the hell you are. Certainly wouldn't tell you. And he emails back, well, don't you give a playbook to your players? And I said, yep. But I don't even know if you're one of our players or not. So we're going to come up with a plan. And we're going to do something for the cause of Christ that's going to advance this ball. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. God bless you. Tyrell, thanks for joining us. All of you, thanks for being with us today. We'll be back at it here again tomorrow, fighting for all we're worth, because now, listen, Michael Moore said, next 100 days. Well, we're about 20 days into those next 100, and our team hasn't really taken the field the way that we need to. But we're going to. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.